But with us tonight, this blessed night, inshallah, is Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasser. He was born, he gave us a brief ideal about his life. He's born in Palestine, as he says, the land now that the Jews have stolen, in 1953. He started his schooling in Jericho, and he then went on and finished all the way to high school in Jordan he finished in Jordan, and then he went on and got his bachelor's in 1981 in Kuliyat al-Quran, College of Quran in Islamic University of Medina. In 1984, he got his master's degree in Arabic, the University of Arabic and Islamic Studies of Punjab, which is in Lahore, Pakistan. And he said between 1982 and 1987, he was imam and khatib of masjid over there and teaching the people the recitation. Because he is an expert in the different forms of recitation. In 1987, he went to Bahrain for 4 years for dawah. And in 1991, during the Gulf War, he went to the College of Islamic Knowledge, University of Amman, as a professor teaching the recitation, the various forms of recitation. And he also was on the board of those who check the Qur'ans and when they print them. He was one of the ones who checked that, as well as he was a judge in the tournaments of the tournaments of competition as to who has memorized the most Qur'an. He is now working on his doctorate. He got his master's. He's now working on his doctorate in the issue of the tafsir, the various tafsirs and the various forms of recitation in the College of Language and Arabic language and Sharia in Sudan. He has many, many books. Some of them published and some of them unpublished. Amongst them, The Virtues of Quran, The Virtues of the Recitation of Quran in the Clear Sunnah, and With the Prophet ﷺ in Ramadan, and Guiding the Confused in matters that deal with praying in the middle of Sha'ban. This is the name of his book. Also, many others. And he is the editor of the magazine, the Salafi magazine, Al-Asala. He is the chief editor of that. So this is he's trying to make very short some of the things that he has been involved in. And now, inshallah ta'ala, we will allow him to start his lecture.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أيها الإخوة المؤمنون موضوع هذه المحاضرة القدوة الحسنة وأثرها في التربية أو التربية بالقدوة الحسنة.
All praise be to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help and we ask His forgiveness. We bear We seek His help and we ask His forgiveness. He whom Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray. And whom Allah wills to be led astray, there's none that can guide him. I bear witness that if nothing exists, it has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone without any associate. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Salawatullahi wa salam alayhi. He said, oh my believing brothers, our topic tonight is the effect of the good example upon the matters that the Muslims must learn, upon the tarbiyah of the Muslims. The effect of the good example, or the good example in the matters of tarbiyah. The good example being a way of learning and growing in our Islam. In other words, the theme of the conference is tarbiyah, Islamic growth. What is the effect of good example in this matter? This is what he's going to talk about. What is the effect of one being a good example, and what is that effect upon an individual in his Islamic growth?
وهذا الموضوع موضوع القدوة الحسنة موضوع مهم جدا في حياة الأمم والشعوب. لأن الأمم متى ما افتقدت القدوة الصالحة الحسنة فإنها تتخبط في الظلمات. ولو شاء الله لأنزل كتبه السماوية من غير أن يرسل رسلا يترجمون هذه الكتب ترجمة واقعية وسلوكا حيا بين الناس. كان الله تعالى قادر أن ينزل القرآن من غير أن يرسل معه الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، ولكن الله أراد أن يكون هذا الرسول ترجمانا عمليا لتعاليم القرآن. ولذلك لما سئلت عائشة رضي الله عنها عن خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت كان خلقه القرآن، لأنه لا بد من القدوة الحسنة، ولا بد للنبي أن يكون القرآن في حياته تطبيقا عمليا.
This issue of a good example is a very, very important issue in the lives of every nation. To such a degree when people do not find a good example to follow, someone to guide them, they fall short. They fall into darkness. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers, peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of them, to be good examples to those who they were sent to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made it such, he said, that he sent the books without any prophets. Sent down the books without any prophets. But rather instead, he sent the books with prophets who showed us how to actually apply this Quran. How to actually implement this Quran. And to such a degree that the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked, explain to us the morals and the manners of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said his morals and his manners, his character was Quran. So that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a walking Quran upon earth. That his actions showed and explained us and gave us as a good example how we actually apply the Quran.
الخلق بحاجة ماسة إلى القدوة الحسنة، لأنهم لا يمكن أن يفهموا القرآن إلا إذا رأوا ممارسة وتطبيق حي لهذا القرآن. ولذلك وجه الله الأمة إلى أن تقتدي بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر، وذكر الله كثيرا. والله تعالى قص على نبيه قصص الأنبياء ليتخذ منهم العبرة ويجعل منهم القدوة. لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب. ف فاصبر كما صبر أولو العزم من الرسل أولئك الذين هداهم الله فبهداه مقتده. كل هذه آيات تدعو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أن يعتبر ويتعظ ويتأسى بالأنبياء الذين سبقوه في صبرهم في الدعوة وجهادهم وتضحيتهم حتى يكون هو صلى الله عليه وسلم مدرسة للأمة تتربى على أخلاقه وعلى صفاته وفضائله وشمائله.
نشر آية بعد الله فاصبر.
فاصبر كما صبر أولو العزم من الرسل.
الآية بعد ذلك.
أولئك الذين هداهم الله فبهداهم اقتدي.
The need for the creation for a live example is a very, very important need. For actual live example as to who or as to how to apply this Quran is very, very important. They need to see that someone similar to them can apply this. That someone similar to them can implement the message sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, the meaning of the verse being, verily you have a good example in the Messenger of Allah for those who believe in Allah in the last day and remember Allah a lot, or remember Allah much. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take the messengers who came before him as an example in many verses of Quran. As when he said to them, when he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to us, verily in their stories are a lesson for those who understand. The stories of all the prophets are a lesson for those who understand. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he revealed in the Quran, be patient like the strong-willed prophets, the five strong-willed prophets, which are Noah, Muhammad, Isa, wa Ibrahim,
Musa,
alayhi salam. These strong-willed prophets, be patient like they were strong. And also, Allah also told the Prophet, alayhi salam, revealed in his Quran, that these are those who guided, these are those who we guided, so with their guidance, you follow, or you stick to what they were on and the guidance that they were on.
فالناس إذا أصابتهم مصيبة فيتذكرون مثالا لهم في الصبر وهو أيوب عليه السلام الذي نزل فيه البلاء والداء سنين طويلة حتى نفر منه الناس حتى نفر منه أقرب الناس إليه. والناس إذا ألمت بهم فتنة فإنهم يتذكرون عفة يوسف عليه السلام حينما قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه. والناس إذا وقعوا في بلاء وتعرضوا للحبس والسجن فإنهم يتذكرون أيضا يوسف عليه السلام حينما ألقاه إخوته في الجب في البئر وحينما دخل السجن. وإذا وقع عليهم البلاء يتذكرون ما وقع لإبراهيم عليه السلام حينما ألقي في النار فصبر واحتسب. ويتذكرون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما كان يؤذيه قومه ويشتموه ويلقوا عليه الحجارة وأخرجوه من مكة إلى غير ذلك من الأمثلة الصالحة التي هي في الحقيقة نماذج طيبة يقتدى بها ويتأسى بها إلى قيام الساعة.
And this is a very important matter for everyone. And the manner that the people should recall these prophets as being a good example, he mentioned some examples of this, is when people go through difficulties and everything is difficult upon them in their lives, they've lost their wealth, loss of family. They can think about the story of Ayub, alayhi salam, and how he was patient with that, loss of wealth, loss of family. And when people are presented with desires, fitness, that try to take them away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can recall the story of Yusuf, alayhi salam. And also, when people fall into difficulty, if they are imprisoned, they can also think of the matter of Yusuf alayhi salam. And when people experience on the hands of those who they're giving da'wah to abuse, then they can think of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how his people tried to threw him in the fire. All of these are examples that we can take and we must take, and these are all examples of how the prophets were the good examples for us and an actual physical example for us.
وَلَقَدْ اِقْتَضَتْ حِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ حتى تتحقق فيهم القدوة الصالحة ولو شاء لجعلهم ملائكة يمشون في الأرض بين الناس ولكن لو جعلهم من الملائكة لما كان هناك في سلوكهم تربية للأمة لأن الناس يعلمون أن الملائكة معصومون منزهون من الخطأ والخطيئة فلو أرسل الله ملكا لم يكن لهم فضل زائد على الناس لأن الله ركبهم على السلامة من العيوب والأخطاء والذنوب ولكن الأنبياء جعلهم الله من جنس البشر حتى يقتدي بهم البشر وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه ملك ولو أنزلنا ملكا لقضي الأمر ثم لا ينظرون ولو جعلناه ملكا لجعلناه رجلا وللبسنا عليهم ما يلبسون وقالوا ما لهذا الرسول يأكل الطعام ويمشي في الأسواق كانوا يريدوا أن يكون الرسول من الملائكة ولكن الله أبى أن يجعل الملائكة رسلا وإنما جعلهم من بني البشر حتى يربوا الأمة بأخلاقهم وصفاتهم ومحاسنهم وفضائلهم.
And there is great wisdom for the reason as to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets as men. For if he was to send angels, the people know that the angels are perfect and do not make mistakes and do not fall in sins. So they would not have really any virtue over the people, because the people would say, well, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has formed them, that they are not like this. They're not like us. We make mistakes, and the other things that are the weaknesses or deficiency of the people. So this is a fact, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they say, why this messenger that they, the meaning of the ayah, why this messenger that has been sent to us, it's not an angel. Why it's not an angel? Allah to God said, were I to send angels, the matter would be over with or decided. Also, Allah to God states, the meaning of the verse, that if we were to send angels, we would send him as a man. If we would send one of them, we would send in the form of a man. And it would still be unclear to them as to the matter. And they say, why is this messenger, another verse in Quran, why is this messenger walking in the markets and eating? So they wanted for the messenger to be an angel, and Allah Ta'ala wanted his wisdom was such that it should be a man, one that one could follow, to be an example, who had the same problems and deficiencies, and so that people can therefore take him as a living example for their beliefs and for their practices and for their morals and for their character.
وكان الأنبياء عليهم السلام قد جمعوا الكمالات البشرية كلها، فلذلك وجه الله الخلق إلى الاقتداء بهم والاهتداء بهم. وكان أكثر هؤلاء الأنبياء جمعا للفضائل نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وتشتد حاجة الأمة إلى القدوة كلما عصفت بها رياح الفتن، فقد كان الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما تشتد المعركة ويشتد الوطيس كان الصحابة يحتمون برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو أشجع الناس، لا ينهزم ولا يولي الأدبار إذا لقي العدو، بل كان يثبت في الميدان ويكون صلى الله عليه وسلم يلقي بنفسه في الأماكن الخطرة، وكان يصبر على الأذى في سبيل الله. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم أشجع الناس، وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم أكرم الناس، يعطي عطاء من لا يخشى الفقر. وهكذا الصحابة من بعده وعلى رأسهم أبو بكر الصديق وعمر وعثمان وعلي كانوا قدوة للأمة بعد نبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم.
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Also Allah Ta'ala sent the prophets with all of the good qualities. All of them had very, very good qualities. And the one who collected the most of these qualities is our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam collected all the good qualities of the other prophets. He, Alayhi Wasallam, had those qualities. To such a degree that when in the people, let me rephrase that. In the times of difficulty, the people need a good example. This is what the Sheikh is saying. In the times of difficulty, the people need a good example. They need someone that they can look to show them the way. And this is what the Prophet, the Sahabas of the Companions used to do. When in the thicker battle, they would find that the Prophet was in the front, and they would look for him when they were on the battlefield. And they would gather around him. And as the Sheikh said, the Prophet was the most courageous of anyone. And he would place himself in areas of difficulty, the most dangerous areas, he would place himself there. So this is the example of the Prophet ﷺ, that he had all these fine qualities of all the fine qualities that all the prophets had were embodied in him, ﷺ. And he was the most generous also. He gave with no consideration as to what he gave. He was the most kind, the most gentle, and most courageous. Similarly, he taught this to his companions after him. And of course, first and foremost, Abu Bakr, Uthman, Ali, Umar al-Khattab, they, radiallahu anhum, they had the best character and best qualities and were the best examples for the Ummah to follow, because they contained all these good qualities that they had learnt from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
مواقف الصعبة يظهر الرجال وتظهر الأمثلة وتظهر القدوة. فهذا أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه حينما توفي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أصاب الأمة صدمة كبيرة، حتى أن بعض الصحابة أنكر وفاة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال إن الرسول لم يمت، وإنه ذهب يناجي ربه كما ذهب موسى إلى الطور. وهكذا كثير من الصحابة لم يصدقوا أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد مات، حتى جاء أبو بكر الصديق وقال أيها الناس، من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات، ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. ثم تلا قول الله وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم. فأيقن الصحابة بهذا الموقف أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد مات، وصبروا واحتسبوا وسلموا أمرهم إلى الله. وكذلك فعل رضي الله عنه حينما ارتدت قبائل من العرب وبعضهم منع الزكاة، حاربهم بسيفه حتى ردهم إلى الإسلام. وهكذا فعل رضي الله عنه حينما كثر القتل في القراء وحفاظ القرآن، فجمع المصحف، جمع القرآن بين دفتين وجمع الأمة على هذا المصحف. وهكذا يكون موقف الرجال العظام في الشدائد وفي الملمات، يكونون منارات هدى ومصابيح دجى. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أجل ذلك أمرنا أن نقتدي بالذين من بعده أبي بكر وعمر، وأن نتبع سنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين الذين عضوا على الكتاب والسنة بالنواجذ، لأنهما قدوة بعد نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And this is the case of life, that when things are very, very difficult, this very, very hard, people are going through very, very many problems, then the men are shown who are the true men. And this was shown in the case of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu at the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the worst thing that the Ummah had experienced, to such a degree that some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not die, but verily he went to visit his Lord and he'll be back. Many of them denied that this had happened. But here Abu Bakr comes out and says to the people, "O you people, verily you who worshipped Muhammad alayhi salam, if you were to worship Muhammad, verily Muhammad alayhi salam has died. But you who worship Allah, Allah tabarakallah is all living." Also, he recited the verse of the Quran.
من كان وما محمد إلا رسول.
Muhammad عليه السلام is nothing but a messenger.
قد خلت من قبل الرسل.
Messengers before him have died.
فإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم.
If he was to die or was killed, would you turn back on your heels?
ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا.
And those who turn upon their heels do not harm Allah in the least.
سيجزي الله الشاكرين.
And Allah will reward those who are grateful. And when the apostates turned away, when people turned away and became apostates, when they rejected to pay zakat, became kuffar, Abu Bakr fought them with his sword and returned them back to Islam, and showed his courage in this regard. Once again, the importance of the men in the times of difficulty. And also, when many of the hufaz, those who are memorizers and recite the Quran, were killed at the Battle of Yamama, Abu Bakr gathered the Quran for the Ummah, gathered the Quran and wrote it down for the Ummah. So at the times of difficulty, this shows that the people of knowledge and the people who are righteousness and the true men come forward, and they are lights to guide the people, and they are perfect examples for them.
ولذلك من طعن في أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فكأنه طعن في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم توفي وهو عنهم راض، لأنهم تربوا على عينه صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن الله رضي عنهم ورضوا عنه. فالرافضة أهل البدع الذين يلعنون أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويتبرؤون منهم، في الحقيقة يخطئون ويضلون بهذا الفعل، لأنهم يطعنون في الرسول من حيث لا يدرون. لأن الله رضي عنهم ورضوا عنه، ولأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم زكى أصحابه وقال لا تسبوا أصحابي، فوالذي نفسي بيده لو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل جبل أحد ذهبا أو فضة ما أدرك ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه.
And because of this example that we gave Abu Bakr, this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, follow my two companions who came after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, follow my sunnah and the sunnah of my rightly guided khulafa. So from this matter we can see that those who find fault with companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are mistaken. Such groups as the Rawafid, which are the Shia, who find fault with the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are astray. And in this manner, they are going against what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. And they are indirectly finding fault with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died while he was pleased with them. And Allah ta'ala is pleased with them. And the Prophet ﷺ was pleased with them. So he who finds fault with the companions of the Prophet ﷺ is in actuality finding fault with Allah ta'ala and His Messenger ﷺ. So this is the matter that the Prophet ﷺ said, do not curse my companions. And were you to give, whatever you were to give of charity, it would, if you were to give as much as the Mount of Uhud, it would not equal two handfuls of my companions or one. So anyone who finds fault with companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not on the correct way.
وقد حرم الإسلام على المسلم أن يقول ما لا يفعل وأن يخالف قوله سلوكه وسمته وهديه. فقال الله تعالى في القرآن يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. فيحرم على المسلم أن يقول قولا بلسانه ويخالفه بجنانه ويخالفه بأفعاله. هذا ليس من شأن المسلم، بل هذا من أمارات النفاق والعياذ بالله. فيجب أن يتفق القول والفعل والسلوك في حياة المسلم حتى يكون عند الله مرضيا. أيوة.
And because of this, it is haram. I mean, he's connecting the fact to good example. It's haram for the Muslim to say on his tongue or to make a statement and his actions are different than that. To say on his tongue what is not in his heart, and he does not exemplify. In this regard, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, meaning of the verse, O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Verily, it's hateful in the sight of Allah that you say that which you do not do. For a Muslim to say something on his tongue, and his actions outwardly and inwardly, his beliefs and so on and so forth, are different, then this is not the sign of a believer. Rather, this is a sign of a hypocrite. And we seek refuge in Allah from that. This is a sign of a hypocrite who makes statements that they do not apply in their lives or really believe in their hearts. So this is something that we have to understand, that the one who wants to be a good example, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a good example, and as companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a good example, his action must be in accordance with what he states. His saying and action must both be together. Cannot say something and do other than that with his actions.
ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محذرا هؤلاء الذين يقولون ولا يفعلون ويدعون حب الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا يقتدون به في عباداته وفي معاملاته وفي أخلاقه وفي سلوكه وفي سائر أحواله. يقول أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مررت ليلة أثري بي، يعني ليلة المعراج، بأقوام تقرض شفاههم بمقاريض من نار. قلت: من هؤلاء يا جبريل؟ قال: خطباء أمتك الذين يقولون ما لا يفعلون. مررت ليلة الإسراء وليلة المعراج بأقوام يعني من أهل النار تقرض شفاههم بالمقاريض من نار، فيسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جبريل: من هؤلاء؟ فيقول: هؤلاء الخطباء الذين يقولون ما لا يفعلون. ولذلك قالوا: وعالم بعلمه لم يعملا معذب من قبل عباد الوثن. وجاء في الحديث أن النار تسعر بثلاثة، أول من تسعر بهم النار ثلاثة، ومنهم عالم لم يتعلم العلم لله، يعني لم يقرن بين العلم والعمل، لم يتربى تربية صحيحة، لم يربي نفسه على الإسلام، لم يجعل من نفسه قدوة للآخرين، بل يقول القول ويخالفه بأفعاله.
But, and this is a very important point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned those severely whose actions are other than what they say. Those who claim that they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do not follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his beliefs and in his actions and in his morals and in his manners and in his behaviors, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned them. Those who call to this, and those who state it, but they don't apply it. And in this regard, there's a hadith of the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he passed by a group of people who were having their mouths cut with scissors of fire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Jibril, "Who are these, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" Jibril said, "These are the speakers who say what they do not act upon. Call, but don't act upon it. Make statements, but do not apply it in their lives." And as he said, has been stated, the scholar who doesn't act upon what he knows, or the one who has some knowledge and doesn't act upon that knowledge, the first one to be punished before the people who worship idols. Also, it is mentioned in hadith that the first one, one of the first ones to enter the hellfire, will be that scholar who, or that person who learned knowledge not for the pleasure of Allah. Learned it, but did not act upon it, is what the Sheikh said. Learned it, and did not act upon it. What he knew, he did not apply. This is one of the first who went to hellfire. So Allah Ta'ala warns us regarding this issue.
ولذلك كان نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم قليلا الكلام كثير الفعل، كان يتخول الصحابة بالموعظة مخافة السآمة، ولكنه كان صلى الله عليه وسلم مجمع الفضائل ومجمع الأمثال، وكان مدرسة صلى الله عليه وسلم، بل كان قرآنا يمشي بين الناس.
And because of this, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't talk much. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed in his actions what was correct. And he would take period of time, sometimes he would give a period of times, he would take give admonition at some time and leave it sometimes, fearing that the companions would become bored. But while he did not speak much, he did many things and showed his behavior the good qualities and the good characteristics that one must have, until he became a Quran walking upon earth. A Quran walking upon earth by his example. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not talk much, he acted. He acted and carried out the good characters.
ونحن نعلم أن الإسلام انتشر في بلدان كثيرة من غير دعوة ومن غير جهاد، وإنما من خلال التجارة والصدق في التجارة والأخلاق الإسلامية والصفات الحميدة، فدخل الناس في دين الله حينما رأوا صدق المسلمين، وحينما رأوا فضائل الإسلام في من خلال أخلاق المسلمين دخلوا في الإسلام ورغبوا في الإسلام، كما كان الناس يتأثرون بأخلاق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من غير موعظة ومن غير تذكير.
And we have many examples. We know of many examples where people entered Islam and Islam spread to many, many countries of the earth. And the people did not, those people who they entered Islam because of what they saw from these individuals, they did not speak to them, but because the truthfulness and the honesty that they saw in their manners of trade and in their conduct, in their character, they saw this and they entered into Islam and accepted Islam because of these, the actions and the good character, and that these people were truthful and these people were honest. Similarly, the people were doing such with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the Prophet ﷺ, many people followed his actions. They noticed his character and carried out his actions.
ولذلك إن هذه الأمة لن يصلح حالها وشأنها إلا إذا اقتدت بنبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأنه القدوة في كل زمان ومكان، ولأن هذه الأمة لن يصلح شأنها حتى تقتفي أثر نبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم، فهو الذي ضرب المثل الأعلى في أخلاقه وصفاته، في عبادته لله، في جهاده، في قيامه، في كرمه، في تواضعه، في حلمه، في رفقه، في عفوه عن الناس، في كل شيء، في رحمته، في كل أحواله. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم من الليل حتى تتفطر قدماه، وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأل عن ذلك فيقول: أفلا أكون عبدا شكورا؟ كان صلى الله عليه وسلم أحسن الناس خلقا، كان صلى الله عليه وسلم أحسن الناس أخلاقا، يعفو عن من ظلمه ويحسن إلى من أساء إليه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And because of this ummah, its current situation would never change. This ummah would never be benefited, would not retain success, would always be in its sorry situation that it is in now, unless and until it takes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a good example, for the example, and in actuality apply what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a good example for every time and for every place. In every situation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had all the qualities, and the people must follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those qualities. He was the most generous, he was the most honest, he was the most forgiving, he had the best manners, he was the most kind, and all the characters of the, all these qualities that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, the people must follow him in all of these. Take him as the example and implement his life and apply their lives and to his life. And in this regard, we can see that the Prophet ﷺ prayed all night. He prayed all night until his feet became swollen. And when someone mentioned this to the Prophet ﷺ, why are you doing this when Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you for your past and present sins? The Prophet ﷺ said, should I not be a thankful servant, a grateful servant? And the Prophet ﷺ had the best manners. He would forgive those who did injustice to him, those who wronged them. The Prophet ﷺ will forgive him. So this ummah will not change from its current situation, and unless and until it takes the Prophet ﷺ as its only example and implement everything that the Prophet ﷺ was doing and follow the Prophet ﷺ in every action.
ولا بد لنا من أن نذكر نماذج لهذه القدوة الحسنة المتمثلة في شخص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فمثلا قدوته صلى الله عليه وسلم في الزهد، يقول عبد الله بن مسعود دخلت على الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد نام على حصير قد أثر في جنبه الشريف، فقلت يا رسول الله هل اتخذت وطاء؟ الحصير يؤثر في جنبك. فيقول صلى الله عليه وسلم ما لي وللدنيا، ما أنا إلا كراكب تحت ظل شجرة. راح وتركه. وتقول عائشة رضي الله عنها لعروة ابن أختها: يا ابن أختي، كان يمر علينا الهلال ثم الهلال ثم الهلال 3 أهل في شهرين، وما يوقد في بيوت رسول الله نار. فيسألها: ما كان يعيشكم يا خالة؟ فتقول: الأسودان، التمر والماء. وما شبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من خبز بر، يعني قمح، 3 أيام تباعا منذ قدم المدينة. وأما تواضعه عليه الصلاة والسلام فكان يبدأ أصحابه بالسلام، وكان يصغي إلى محدثه
صلى الله عليه وسلم. So we must mention examples of this. The example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life as being a good example. In this regard, he mentions the zuhud of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, self-restraint in matters that are lawful, but you leave out of not wanting that thing and preferring that which is better. In regards to this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said once, when one of his companions entered upon him and he was laying on a mat of date palm mat that had that put impressions upon his side, he said, "Why don't you take a pillow, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What is this dunya to me? What is me in this dunya, in this world? It's nothing. Verily, I am like a traveler who came to a place and then moved on." Similarly, Aisha radiallahu anha related to her nephew that they would go months and no fire was lit to cook food in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no fire was lit in his house to cook food. So he said to his aunt, "What did you eat?" She said, "We ate the 2 black ones, dates and water, dates and water." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also was very humble, the most humble of men. He would shake the hands of his companions and would not take his hand away from that person until that person removed their hands. And he would salam them. He would start with salam. He wouldn't wait till they salamed him. He would begin with salam. And he would sit wherever the sitting arrangement ended. To such a degree that someone would come and say, "Where is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" He had no set alayhi salam. He had no set dress. No set dress. No set way to distinguish him from his companions. So they would have to ask because of his humility. He would take time with a servant, talk to that servant, and take care of their needs. He would work with his hands, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hardest work, to such a degree that he built the ditch with the companions of the Prophet, with his companions, alayhi salam. He dug the ditch. This is the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sold his clothing. He milked the camels, worked, and helped his household. He was in this serving in manner of serving his household. These are the examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we must take from. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam be a living example, and that we follow him in all of these matters.
أما عن حلمه عليه الصلاة والسلام على من أساء إليه وعفوه، فهذا تحدث به ولا حرج، فإنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قد عفى على أهل مكة الذين آذوه وطردوه، وأهل الطائف الذين أدموا قدميه وأغروا به السفهاء، بعد أن جاءه ملك الجبال وقال له إن الله يأمرك، إن الله يستأذنك أن يطبق عليهم الأخشبين، إن شئت أطبق عليهم الأخشبين يعني الجبلين العظيمين. فقال أرجو الله أن يخرج من أصلابهم من يعبد، اللهم اهد قومي فإنهم لا يعلمون. وبينما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نائم تحت ظل شجرة وهو معلق سيفه فوق رأسه، فيأتي أحد المشركين الأعراب ويأخذ هذا السيف ويرفعه على رأس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويقول للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من يمنعك مني يا محمد؟ فيقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الله الله الله، فيسقط السيف من يد هذا الأعرابي فيأخذه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ويقول له أنت من يمنعك مني؟ فيقول له كن خير آخذ، يعني اعف عني لا تقتلني. فيقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتؤمن بي؟ فيقول لا، ولكن أعاهدك ألا أقاتلك ولا أكون مع قوم يقاتلونك. عفى عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فرجع هذا الأعرابي يقول لقومه جئتكم من عند خير الناس. أما شجاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم فحدث ولا حرج، فقد صرع أحد المصارعين العرب وألقاه أرضا ثلاث مرات فأسلم هذا المشرك. وكان الصحابة رضي الله عنهم يحتمون بالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما يشتد المعركة، وثبت صلى الله عليه وسلم على بغلته في غزوة حنين حينما فر كثير من الصحابة، وكان يقول أنا النبي لا كذب، أنا ابن عبد المطلب. وحلم على الأعرابي الذي جاء وبال في المسجد فعفى عنه ونصحه برفق ولين، حتى قال هذا الأعرابي اللهم ارحمني ومحمدا ولا ترحم معنا أحدا. إذن أيها الإخوة، هذه بعض فضائله وبعض محاسنه، وهو صلى الله عليه وسلم قدوة هذه الأمة، وعلينا أن نحيي قدوته وسنته وهديه في حياتنا حتى نفوز ونفلح. لأن الله يقول وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا، ويقول فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم. ألا وإن هذه الأمة لن تقوم لها قائمة حتى تقتفي أثر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتتربى على أخلاقه وفضائله ومحاسنه، وبذلك يفرح المؤمنون بنصر الله. والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
As for the forbearance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his forgiveness, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forgave the people of Mecca. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forgave the people of Mecca. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forgave the people of Taif, those who bloodied, who stoned him and bloodied his feet. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forgave them. They sent the children after him and made fun of him. And Allah Ta'ala sent the angel who was in charge of the mountains and said, your Lord from the heavens, seek your permission to crush these people between these mountains. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, there may be amongst them some the progeny who will be guided. And he said, oh Allah, have mercy upon my people. They do not know what they're doing. Alayhi salam. And regarding the courage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day was lying under a tree, and his sword was hanging up on the tree. And a Bedouin Arab came and grabbed the sword. He said, oh Muhammad, alayhi salam. Who will protect you from me? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah. And he dropped the sword. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked it up and said, now who will protect you from me? He said, you are the most generous person. You have the good character. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you believe in me? He said, no. But I take a promise with you that I will not fight you or support anyone who fights you. And he went back to the people and said, this is the best man I've ever met. Similarly, Battle of Hunain. The Prophet ﷺ, many of them left, ran away. And the Prophet ﷺ stayed and said, I am the messenger of Allah, and that is no lie. The courage of the Prophet ﷺ, that the companions in the thick of battle would gather around him. This is the courage of the Prophet ﷺ. And the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to such a degree that the mercy he had with those who would commit wrong or make mistakes, like the man who entered the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not hard with him, but rather he told him, the masjids are not made for places of this, for things of this nature. He said, this is our example. And all of these elements that we mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. We have to revive the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. This is because Allah tabaraka ta'ala said, if they obey you, they will be guided. If they obey you, they will be guided. And Allah tabaraka ta'ala said in Quran, make those aware. Who go against
بارك الله فيكم الحمد لله رب العالمين أسأل الله أن يجعل حياة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في حياتنا حية غضة طرية.
He said, may Allah make the life of the Prophet ﷺ an example for us. To finish the verse, let those be aware who go away from the orders of the Prophet ﷺ, that they should be aware of a fitna and a severe punishment. So the Ummah must go back to following the examples of the Prophet ﷺ to be the right example. And the lesson, until we do this, we will not be successful in this life and or in the after. And when we do this, he said, then the believers will be proud and will be happy with the victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala. Questions and answers.
Jazakallahu khairan.